Father, we come looking at your truth, God, and it is very humbling to look at this great picture of what is to be, Lord. A great judgment, Father. And I just pray as we look at your word, your truth, what is to come through the book of Revelation being proclaimed. Father, I speak to our hearts, God. Remind us of what is to be, how not to be there. In Christ's name we pray. I want to open. This is actually from a newspaper editorial that was written, and then there was a response by the journalist of the paper to this editorial. It opens up, he says, "Worshipping anyone other than Jesus Christ is teaching false doctrine that effectively means they will spend eternity in hell. I know this isn't a popular view, but it is the biblical truth." The journalist responded with these words, "I appreciate the power of your faith, but it isn't compassionate. I cannot believe Gandhi is rotting in hell." He goes on to speak about a Buddhist monk who's described as an anonymous Christian. And the picture here is that although he didn't realize he was a Christian, he at some point became aware of the fact that he was forgiven, that he was part of the great multitude that would enter into heaven. And he denied, this journalist, the very clear words of Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And the journalist closes with these words. He says, "It's not your job to tell people they are damned. God didn't put you in charge of dispensing salvation tickets. God put you on earth to witness to your faith by keeping your heart open and your mouth shut." Now, let me tell you, let's just imagine you were awakened in the middle of the night and you looked outside and your neighbor's house was on fire. What would be the compassionate thing to do? Would it be to say, "Well, I think I'm going to go back to sleep because he really needs his grass cut, and I'll demonstrate my Christian love by getting up tomorrow, going over there, and cutting his grass"? No, that is not the compassionate thing to do. The compassionate thing to do was to make it very evident and clear that the house is on fire and to get some help to put the fire out. There is not compassion shown to those who are headed to the lake of fire and not sound the warning, not make it known that we will die in our sins. This journalist had the idea that is very popular, that hell is a place for the very wickedest of people, but not for most of us, because basically we're good people. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says clearly in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is not just the super wicked people. It is all people who have sinned. And it says we have all sinned. Regardless of how good we may perceive ourselves to be, we're sinners. I want to read to you, this is from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 19. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God." Every critic of God, everyone in rebellion, everyone in opposition to the living God, the Scripture declares will be silent. You see, there is a time where we will all face an appointment before God. That is what the Scripture is clearly relaying to us. C.S. Lewis put it this way when he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's either liar, lunatic, legend, or Lord. If he's a liar, you can't believe the stuff he said. If he's a lunatic, well, he's just a nut that had a Messiah complex that you can't really believe. If he's a legend, it's just stuff people kind of said, and, you know, it grew into bigger than life kind of thing. Or he's Lord. And it can't be all of these. You have to choose one. And the Scripture declares clearly, he's Lord. He is the one every knee will bow and every tongue will ultimately confess to, the Lord Jesus. You see, the problem is not that the prophets and that Jesus Christ did not make it clear. The problem is they made it very clear and we did not want to hear it. It says in John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world and the people love the darkness because their deeds were evil. In other words, we're sinners. We don't want to be held accountable to God. We don't want to hear the truth of a coming judgment. And yet, this section of Scripture we're going to look at this morning, that's the setting. R.G. Lee, a preacher of old, he had a sermon he used to preach all over the country entitled, Payday Someday. And that someday will be one day, guys, before God. So let's jump right into the text here and first look at an unforgettable setting here in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. That word for great is the word mega. Of course, it could speak, you know, the very size. We think of big. But it's really not just the grandeur of the throne, but the grandeur of the one who is seated on the throne. That he is high, exalted, lifted up, worthy of our worship. And I want you to notice, too, it's a white throne, which declares the purity of the one that is sitting upon the throne. Psalm 97, verse 2, talks about the throne. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne. He is a holy God who is the judge. You see, it's one thing for us to say and declare, you don't deserve to go to heaven. We might say, well, that is a holy place. Something quite different to say, you deserve to go to hell. We don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that. And that is one of the big stumbling blocks. Nobody's a sinner anymore. Nobody deserves to go to hell. Nobody deserves to die. And yet that's not what the Scriptures proclaim, guys. There is a reason Jesus was sent to the cross. It's to pay for our sins. And it's a great white throne. I just want to point this out. It is not a bar stool so that you can sit and get support. It's not a desk for dialogue to tell me how you feel about it. It's a throne. And there's a judge on that throne. And he is bringing a great declaration. Colossians 3, chapter 1 tells us, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The one seated there, Jesus Christ. And I want to point out a verse here. You guys turn to it. It's John 5, 22. And in this verse, we learn about the judge at this great white throne judgment, who will be there and who will make the declaration. John 5:22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Father just as they honor that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So the Scripture here says that the Father said, Son, this is for you. The one who came to forgive sinners, the one who died on a cross, will now be the judge. As all sinners come before him, and they will be declared according to their deeds. Man, remember Peter and John, and they were talking about Jesus, and they said, "Stop it! Be quiet! We don't want to hear any more about Jesus." And so they threatened to beat them and torture them, and they said, "We must obey God rather than men." They couldn't be silent. Why? Because the truth was in their bones, and the truth had to be shared, had to be clearly proclaimed by them. 2 Corinthians 5:19 talks about how the world is reconciled to God through Christ and His Word. And verse 20 closes, and there's this plea. He says, "I implore you through Christ, be reconciled to God." Man, it is a plea that comes from the depths of the heart of the Apostle Paul. He says, get right with the living God through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there is a judgment that awaits you. Now, let's go on with the scripture here. He tells us in this text that earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. There's a picture here of there's no sign of the earth and the heavens. So what happened? Well, the scripture tells, I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 3 a couple of verses. Starting at verse 10, the scripture says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." There is a picture here of destruction that occurs with this place, this heaven, these earths is part of God's judgment and His work. But I fully believe in looking at scriptures as that new heaven and new earth comes, that God will take what is broken of this place and He will resurrect it, and He will renew it, and He will make it new, because that's what He does. He doesn't throw away what is broken. He doesn't throw away sinners. He redeems the sinner, and He makes us new, and He raises us to new life. And I believe He's going to do that with this whole place. He's going to make it new and resurrect it, a new heaven and a new earth for His very glory. That's what will ultimately occur. Turn with me. This is the book of Daniel. Daniel describes it in Daniel 7. Verses 9 through 11, as he has a vision of what will come. Daniel 7, 9 through 11, he says, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took His seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of His head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before Him. Thousands upon thousands attended Him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The court was seated, and the books were open. There were thrones," which gives a picture of more than just one throne, that there were others who were part of the court, who did not declare the judgment, who did not have the final authority, but participated in that judgment. And the scripture talks about that those of us who are in Christ will not be standing before the judgment, but seated around the judgment, worshiping the one who gives the judgment, Jesus Christ. Notice in our text, back to Revelation chapter 20, he tells us, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done in the books." There is a resurrection that occurs here of those without Christ who had experienced death. They had gone through death. Their bodies are scattered all over the earth, all kinds of places. Some in the sea, they died at sea, so they're in the depths of the ocean. Others who, you know, who knows where they are, all scattered all over the earth. People say, well, you know, is it right to be cremated? I mean, can I be resurrected if I'm cremated? Hey, listen, God can find you, and He can pull you up no matter where you are. You might be in the belly of some critter. Don't think God can't take care of that. He'll bring it all back together, and He'll raise you up wherever all these bodies are. Billions and billions of people who are unbelievers, and God raises them up, and it is a time for them to stand before Him. And what an incredible day that will be as we, His people, will be seated at that place, not standing in the judgment, but seated in the place. And the Scripture tells us here in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Hades is the holding tank, the holding place, 10 times is mentioned in the New Testament, and it is always connected with punishment. In other words, this isn't the final place of punishment, but for the unbelievers, it is the place they are now living until the great white throne judgment, until it comes. Those who were there are taken out. They are reconnected. Their souls are reconnected with their bodies. And here they are in this amazing courtroom. Think about it, suspended somewhere in the sky. No earth, no planets to see. The whole focus is upon this court. And there's nowhere to hide. You know, this idea that we will hide from God. Remember Adam and Eve, you know, and they sin, and they're trying to hide from God. And God knew all along where they were. You can never hide from God. And when that day occurs, there will be no hiding from God. There will be nobody missed. Everybody who has ever lived will have to deal with standing before God. Or meeting God. No one will be anonymous in heaven. He knows all. And He is the ultimate judge. The books are about to be opened as evidence. The book of conscience. You really knew what was right because God had planted that within you. The book of secrets. Things we didn't know, they're going to be made known as the righteous judge speaks. The book of words. It's truth. The book of actions, judged according to what we have done or not done. And the book of life, your name written in that book of life. Now, here's the deal. If you're standing there instead of seated as one of Christ's followers, it's too late. You're facing judgment. And the Scripture declares that you're headed to a place in this passage twice where it's spoken of as a lake of fire. Further down the next couple of verses that await you, a judgment that is unavoidable as the summons will occur. There is no way to win in court. So, how do you become one of those who are watching instead of one of those who are standing before the judge? You got to settle out of court. You don't want to get to court. Before you get to court, you need to settle the matter. How do you settle the matter? There's only one way. It's the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. That is the only way to settle out of court. You don't stand before the Almighty Judge, Jesus Christ, and try to proclaim to Him your filthy rags that you call righteousness. That's not it. That is not it. You must settle out of court. You must come before Him now. You must confess to Him your sin. You must declare Him as the righteous one. You must take to heart the fact that He died on the cross for your sins and He paid the price for what you deserve. Hey, do not ask do not ask to receive a fair trial. You'll get one. Ask for the almighty grace and mercy and forgiveness of God shown in Jesus Christ at Calvary. Nail that down. Man, none of this stuff today, we preach so many messages about how to be a better Christian. This is not about being a better Christian. This is about being a Christian. You are not a Christian if you do not come through the perfect work of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, slain for the sins of the world, resurrected from the dead, sitting at the right hand of the Father, the righteous judge who will proclaim His judgment. And it takes only one righteousness to save us from our sins, His righteousness. The amazing thing is the very judge who will judge for sin is also the Lamb of God who died for my sin and yours. The question is, will you settle out of court? Will you settle out of court? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. We live in an age where hell is seldom spoken of, but God, it is clear. It is clear that apart from the work of Jesus in our lives, we are doomed, God. And my prayer is just for everyone here that we are ready to meet You, Lord. My desire is each one sitting in this room will be part of those on that day who are seated in that area watching the judgment instead of standing before the King of Kings and receiving the judgment. Father, if anyone here is in that category or headed to stand before the judgment, what a great time to change that. And my heart's prayer and longing is that we would hear from You and that we would trust and say yes to You. And if anyone has not turned their hearts to Jesus, now, do it now. God, and to make that settled out of court. And so, Father, with an altar that's open and this Holy Spirit at work, may we follow You in this time that we call invitation and response, God. As we stand to sing, as we pray, may we simply obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. In Jesus' name, amen.